2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The strength of weakness. A pastor I heard one time announced that it was his intention to preach a sermon on lies told in church. Then he said, after he thought about it, that it would take a series of sermons to preach lies told in church. And then he thought a little while longer, and he said he would have to write a book. Lies told in church. When someone asks you this morning how you are doing, you more than likely said, fine. If you are in the will of God, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are searching after a holy and a godly life, I can tell you one thing. Things are not fine with you. You lied. Now, the other person probably lied too, because when they said, how are you doing? They really didn't want to know how you were doing. And if you want to cure them of asking you, how are you doing, some Sunday morning, you tell them how you're doing. This morning, I want to share with you a principle that Christians, when they first become Christians, do not know. No Christian really understands this and knows this truth when he first becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a lie that you and I accept and believe when we become Christians. And the lie is this. I must be strong. I cannot be weak. I must be strong. That is a lie. We quote scripture, the Bible says, be strong. That's not what it says, is it? It says, be strong in the Lord. The lie that you accepted when you first became a Christian. I must be strong. I accepted that. I thought that since I had become a Christian, as I did some 27 years ago, that all of my problems were now solved. And would you believe, for 1.5 years, my problems seemed like a puff of smoke. Nothing. But then I began to have problems. Then it was another 13 years after I had become a Christian that I discovered how serious a Christian's problems could be. So I had a problem. I had a problem of the problem that I had, but I also had another problem. And the other problem was the problem of thinking that I ought not, as a Christian, to have a problem. But I had a third problem, and the third problem was I couldn't tell anybody that I had a problem because I didn't think Christians ought to have problems. But then something strangely liberating happened. As I began to share and find other Christians who had problems too, and I shared with them and they shared with me the things that they were going through, there was a strange liberty that began to take place. Now, the way that we are, the way that we're programmed, is we do not want other people to know that we're having any problem. As I look out upon this worshiping congregation today, by looking at you, one would never conclude how serious some of your problems may be, or mine. We try so hard to wear and adjust our mask just right so that the people around us can never figure out exactly how serious and tough life has become. An evangelist once preached a series of messages in a congregation. After the evangelistic series, a woman came up to him. The woman was the pastor's wife. She said, "Jack, I have a problem." And she commenced to relate the level of her difficulty and the seriousness of the problem that she had within the congregation and the pressure that she felt that she was under. And she was tired of facades and of just going on day after day. And the amazing comment that the evangelist made to her was this. After she had poured out her soul, he said, "You too, huh?" He said, "I don't know if I helped that pastor's wife, but at least she would know that she had company in the struggle that she was in." I want to suggest that from this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it is the Apostle Paul who is being spoken of. That is, he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was called up to the third heaven. I know such a man." I suggest that Paul is talking about himself, and many other commentators believe the same. That he was caught up into some kind of experience where he saw things and he experienced things that were so incredible that they were unspeakable that he could not tell them to anyone else. I believe Paul had this experience because Paul had problems. He had trouble. I mean, when members of the church begin to throw rocks, literally rocks at you, you get the idea somebody doesn't want you around. They took Paul out to a place outside of the city and they stoned him with rocks. I mean, not little pea gravel, but boulders that cut and bruised and crushed his skull and his bones. And he was left in a pile of rocks. Maybe it was that experience that precipitated 2 Corinthians 12. Maybe it was an experience in prayer. Regardless, he was caught up into heaven. I believe that this is why God gave Paul this experience. God gave him an experience of truth, of who God is, so that what he was about to go through would never override what he knew to be true. God gave him such an experience of truth so that what he was about to go through would never override what he knew to be true. Paul was about and had been cast in prison. He had been stoned and left for dead. He had been beaten. He had to escape persecution. He finally went to a Roman jail where he was beheaded. He had to know, regardless of the problem and the trouble that he was about to face, there was a truth, and there is a God, and there is a reality that transcends even the acts of the executioner. Paul needed to know that because God ultimately, finally, was trying to fix the Apostle Paul. He was fixing to fix the Apostle Paul with the adversity that Paul was about to go through. But I want to tell you something too, Christian. God is out to fix you. God is going to fix you. Too often we try to fix our problems or our troubles or make life more accommodating, easier, convenient, and take care of situations ourselves. But I want to tell you this, that if you try to fix the fix that God is fixing you with, He will just find another fix to put you in. God is going to fix you. What is God's goal? His goal is simply this. God is going to make you like His Son. God is going to so work in you until you have the reality and the truth of identification with Jesus Christ in His crucifixion. He is going to fix you until you're identified with Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said in Colossians 3:2, to set your mind and your affection on things above, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. God, if you try to wiggle out, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, God is going to make you like Christ. One way or the other, you are going to be identified with Jesus Christ. His method, He has got to get us weak before we can find out the truth of identification. He has got to make you weak before you can be identified with Christ. Do you remember King Uzziah in the Old Testament? He became king when he was just a teenager. He was so intimidated by his kingship and his country and his authority that he cried out to God, and God heard his cry, and God blessed him, and Uzziah began to conquer his neighbors. and he extended his empire and he became a great king. But then the Bible says, when Uzziah became strong, he became proud. And God struck him with cancer, or rather with leprosy. It could have been cancer. It could have been anything. He had to live out the rest of his natural life separated from everybody else. When he became strong, he became proud. There is a strength of weakness. For when you are weak, then you become strong. But if you think you are strong, God is going to make you like Christ. There are two principles. Two principles to grasp from this great truth about the strength of weakness. Two principles that Jack Taylor, evangelist, shared that I want to share with you. And the first one is this: the strength of your weakness commences with your brokenness. The strength of weakness commences with brokenness. Every new life is a life that is started out of the brokenness of the old life. When you are ready to begin afresh and anew, then you're ready to die to the old. I talked to a young couple in another church who had been referred to me by a person in this particular city. They had been having marital difficulties. And as I talked to them, they were not members of a Presbyterian denomination. It was rather humorous because when the husband called me, he identified who he was and what church he belonged to and asked me what I believed to make sure. I wish more people would do that, make sure of what I believed. They came and presented their woe, had been married only a short time. She had gotten pregnant before they were married. They got married 3 months later. They had been having serious problems as a result. And as I talked with her, I discovered she was not a Christian. She was a member of this particular denomination in church, but she was not a Christian. And as I began to share with her and ask her, "Jane, do you know for sure that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven?" I thought she wasn't paying attention. She was holding a baby and she was entertaining that baby. But tears began to form in her eyes. And as I shared Christ with her, the Holy Spirit broke her spirit. And she received Christ. And her husband and her together left in such a joy and peace and reaffirmation of one another. Out of the brokenness from the old life, a new life begins, as it did for that young couple. God's greatest work is to bring you to the end of yourself. To bring you to the point where sometimes you have to confess that all hell has broken loose in your life and you don't know what to do. You have come to the end of yourself and your plans and your efforts and you don't know what to do. It's all come loose. I want to tell you, the Lord is behind all of those things. that are happening to you. He is behind those irritating people in your life. The Lord is behind those circumstances that you hate and you can't get out of and you wish that you could. The Lord is behind it. I believe that. I believe we have a sovereign God and He is behind it. And if you're not careful, what you're going to do is that you're going to turn on the very things that are engineered by God to make you like Christ and to bring you wholeness and to bring you victory out of your own life. A Quaker once prayed, he said, Lord, I'm not amazed that you have as few friends as you have, considering the way that you treat the ones that you do have. God, one way or the other, is going to make you like His Son. You are going to end up like Jesus Christ. You might as well relax and go peacefully, because God loves you too much to allow you to have your own self-centered, independent, arrogant way. He is going to fix you. He is going to make you like His Son, one way or the other, until you come believing and worshiping and humbly. If you're saved, you're going to end up like Jesus. You might say, well, God, if only you would not use old so-and-so. She is a battle axe. If you wouldn't use him, I can't stand him. Why do you have to use him in my life to try to bring out these qualities I'm supposed to have? Or maybe you say, God, if you'll only get me out of this situation, I could be a lot better Christian. I could worship you and I could sing and praise and I could be a happy Christian and everything would go well if only you would get me another job or another wife or another husband or some other children or some other parents or whatever. Get me out. God knows exactly what it takes to make you like Christ. Paul was in a fix and he said, Lord, in chapter 12, he said, Lord, just get me out of this. I have pleaded and cried out 3 times. If you'll please deliver me from this circumstance I'm in. God, I could be, just think of the apostle that I could be if you would get me out. God said to Paul, Paul, I've left you right where you are so that you will come to the end of yourself. That is God's purpose and that is His design, that He is going to leave you right there. It's natural to pray for deliverance and we all do that. It's human and it's Christian. God, deliver me. But then if you begin to fix the fix, sometimes God will leave you right where you are. No matter whether you are delivered, God has promised something else. And that leads us to the second point and the last point. And it is this. I said, firstly, there are two principles: that the strength of weakness commences in brokenness, and yet it consummates in victory. Did you notice that Paul's victory in this chapter did not come as a result of God delivering the Apostle Paul out of his circumstance or removing his thorn in the flesh? God left him right where he was. What he did say to Paul is, Paul, you have everything you need to deal with this situation. You don't need to get out. you're going to go to jail. You're going to end up on the executioner's chopping block. You have everything you need to go through this. You need to be identified with Christ. Grace sufficient, abounding grace. Maybe there are situations in your life this morning that you have been trying to resolve and trying to take care of yourself, and maybe there are situations that you don't like, and maybe there are people who are the irritating people in your life. Maybe there are home situations that you're dealing with that are difficult domestic situations. I want you to do something. God will always put you in a place, and He will put people before you who will reveal your weaknesses. Why? So that you can see that you're but a bruised reed and not a grand oak tree. That you're weak and you need to step down off your pedestal. Your self-sufficiency. And admit to God and admit to yourself, Lord, I am weak. And in my weakness, I come to you. And God says to you, if you provide your weakness, I will provide my strength. If you will provide your negative, I will provide my positive. I want you to do something today mentally, and perhaps even as you go home this afternoon or sometime this week. I want you to think about everything that is in your life you would like to get rid of. Would you do that? Who are some people that you would like to get rid of? You don't want them to go to hell, but maybe you'd like for them to go to heaven. Maybe you would like for them to somehow be removed. Some people that you would like to get rid of. You think about those. I want you to think about some problems that you're having that you would like to get rid of. What are some weaknesses that you would like to get rid of? Some distresses. Some problems. And then what I want you to do is write over that entire list what God told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient. Your circumstances, those people, you can still be like Christ. No matter what, because my grace is sufficient. Let's pray.